everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Hi, Becky. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I have been looking forward to this for some time. So we're going to get into becoming Luxembourgish for real. I would love to start with your Luxembourgish story.
So we moved to Luxembourg 5 years ago. I suppose really our Luxembourgish story started in 2016. That was when Brexit happened. So before then, I was living in the UK, in London. Properly British, but my husband is French, Spanish, and British. We were a European family, and we spent a couple of years trying to work out what we were going to do because it affected his job quite a lot. We moved in 2020, and we started the prep for moving to Luxembourg in 2019.
Oh, okay.
So we argued a lot over where we were going to move to, basically. We couldn't work out where was the best place to go. He had options through his work, but none of them were quite working for us. Out of nowhere, Luxembourg came up through a colleague that he had worked with in London and had moved to Luxembourg and said, there's a job, like, I think you should come and apply for it. We moved in 2020, which was COVID.
We have to talk about your choice of schools here, too.
So my eldest was, by this point, he'd turned six. So he was the right age to go to Michel Lucius year one.
And you applied and got in straight away?
Yeah.
That's lucky.
Yeah, it's amazing. And his younger brother goes there now. He did go to the local school for 2 years, but now he's there and they're both so happy.
So was it always smooth sailing?
No, it's really hard. It was really hard.
Okay, tell me about that, because so far it's sounding pretty good.
So when we moved over, my youngest was three. He was about to turn four. He didn't get a place in Precos. We didn't get in and it was harder. In some ways, it was also amazing because it did shut down Luxembourg. You couldn't go and meet people the same way that you could before COVID happened. And he was like my sidekick. We got out and we found places. And then on a weekend, we'd take the rest of the family to the places we'd found together. And it helped me to meet some other families that I wouldn't have met otherwise because they also had young children. So we met up together and that was good because you couldn't meet that many people through schools, things like coffee mornings and things that previously would have happened, they weren't happening now. Social media was great. I met some people that way, and that was really nice. Meeting people was the hard bit, especially in that COVID time.
So then at what point did you say, I think I'm going to stay here forever and become Luxembourgish? Because your husband has European Union citizenship.
He does, yeah.
So I got to ask, what's the value proposition for you?
I don't.
But you're married to him.
I am married to him, but we took Brexit quite hard as a family. It felt like a bit of a loss of identity. I very much felt European. When I was a teenager, I lived in the Netherlands from 14 to when I went back to university. Between that and my husband's family and everything, we very much felt European.
Were you surprised when the vote went through?
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually. It just felt like the start of an awful lot of bad votes going through, to be honest. Now, in hindsight, you can see the way the world was going. I thought people were talking about it, but I didn't think they'd actually do it.
Same. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But I obviously didn't have a stake in the game.
So it was really sad. We're really lucky. We've got European passports in our family. My kids have got European passports. They've got all the opportunities that they could have.
When you made the decision to move to Luxembourg, did you have a timeline in your mind like, oh, we're going to try this for a couple of years and see how it goes? Or like England was dead to you because of Brexit?
No, not at all. We didn't sell our house. We didn't sell our house and we were thinking, let's see, because we didn't know enough about living here. London was absolutely home. I moved there the day after I took my final exam at university and I'd been there the whole of my adult life. London was home.
So then how long did it take to go mentally from your identity of London is home to I want to become Luxembourgish?
About a year, probably.
Only a year?
I think we started selling our house after a year. The life here was something we couldn't replicate in London for all that London is. And it's my favorite city and I love it and I miss it. But the life that we were able to build here for our family was better than the life that we could have built in London. The languages here have changed our family completely, even though we should have been a bilingual family at least. It was so hard to become a bilingual family in London. The kids were not interested in the slightest in learning French. No one spoke another language. There must have been people who spoke other languages in their school. I know there were, but in their class, it made them stand out if we were speaking to them in French rather than English.
Whereas here, it's like
here,
a given.
Weirdos if we only speak English. Yeah. Aren't we?
I'm rolling my eyes over here because that's us. It's like embarrassing. Like,
it is
sorry,
embarrassing.
Dumb American. Yeah. I'm here. And by the way, I do pretty much speak Spanish. The languages, the commute. Languages,
the commute. I think the kids have more independence here. They have more freedom. We can travel more. And we do travel more. It's hard to leave London behind because you think, gosh, we're leaving behind everything that London has to offer. And I was really sad about that. And then you come here and realize, okay, you've left London, but you've now got Paris, Brussels, Ghent, Bruges, Germany, everything in Germany, all just there. So that's replaced it, really. I don't think we miss what London has to offer a lot of the time because we travel. And the schools are great. They were in a really good school before in London. We were very happy. But here the class sizes are so small.
How many kids are in your kids' class?
About 20.
In London?
If you're in a state school, you've easily got 30 in a class.
Let's go back to you taking Brexit hard. Tell me about that part.
All felt sad, quite angry. I think my husband felt quite rejected. Oh. Someone who'd come over and built a good life and contributed a lot. I think he felt really upset by it. So yeah, it was a really sad time.
After about a year, yeah. You said, you know what? It's going well enough here that we're going to sell our house and yeah. Try to make this a more permanent home.
Yeah, we bought here.
That Congratulations.
Deal. Yeah, we were lucky. We had a house in London, which meant because London's really expensive as well, not compared to here, actually, but it's cost enough that when we sold there, we were able to buy into a new build project here. So we were able to buy here.
Is it out of the city, in the city?
It's just outside the city.
Are you happy with it?
Yeah, I love it.
Amazing.
Yeah,
good
yeah,
for you. Good. Talk to me about the next steps for you in terms of your identity.
I started learning Luxembourgish with a view of becoming Luxembourgish really quickly.
Do you speak French?
No, I'm learning French now.
Oh, you went back?
First, I went into Luxembourgish.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the mental plan was, I'm going to become Luxembourgish.
Yes.
And you really wanted that, even though your husband's a European, because?
Administratively, it's still a pain to not have that European passport when you're coming in and out of Europe. They stamp my passport and we have arguments every time we take the ferry.
What do you argue about when you take the ferry?
They're not supposed to stamp my passport.
Oh,
I'm
right.
A resident here. And if they stamp your passport, it looks like you've exceeded days and so it can cause problems.
Oh.
Not so much when we come into Luxembourg, but if you take the ferry or the tunnel into like France, they aren't interested in whether you have Luxembourgish residency.
Oh.
They just stamp my passport without even looking at it, without even asking us. And then there's also the wanting to become European. And then the longer you're here, the more you think, I want to be Luxembourgish too.
Why do you want to be Luxembourgish?
I think it's about dual nationality. I'm British and I will always be British. Like, that's absolutely who I am. But I think the longer you're in a country, the more complicated your relationship with nationality gets for me. So I wouldn't say I am only Luxembourgish, but I'm really happy to say I am British and Luxembourgish and I have both nationalities. Well, I hope when the papers come through.
That brings me to my next. You actually are Luxembourgish. You passed the test, right?
I've passed the test. The papers are in.
Amazing.
And then you've got an 8-month wait where they review your papers and check everything's in order and that they decide to give you nationality. So I'm in that 8-month wait at
okay.
the moment.
I'd like to be the first to congratulate you ahead of that 8 months.
Thank you.
So tell me the journey of, I want to become Luxembourgish. I'm learning Luxembourgish to get that passport. What do you do? Sign up at INL?
I started learning Luxembourgish like within a year of being here. And I feel like I've done so many different routes to learn.
Tell me about the routes.
I started off with a book and an online course that we would meet on Zoom calls. But at that time, my 3-year-old was still being a 3-year-old and not yet at school. I couldn't keep up. I really admire anyone who goes the self-study option. It turns out I'm just not quite good at planning my time. It also wasn't the right time. I was doing a lot of meeting people and getting out there, and I couldn't prioritize Luxembourgish at that time. So I found it hard to study at home. So I did one course of that and then stopped. And then I was like, oh, it's because I can't manage to keep up with the meetings. So then I went to Luxembourgish with Anne and was like, I'll just self-study and that'll fix it. That didn't fix it at all.
Did you do her zero to Spruken test in 6 months?
No, I think I just signed up for the A1 course again. I did A1 three times in three different routes.
Okay, so I'm in A1. I'm on week two of A1. It's really hard.
It's really hard.
It's really, for some reason, really hard for me to remember, like, from where are you from?
Yes, it's really hard. And it just didn't...
From Vovens,
it was really hard. And I think I thought I could do it self-study and I couldn't do it self-study. So eventually, my son did get a place then in the first year of school when he had to have it. He got his place in school.
At Michelle Osier, so they both
This is Spielschule, so the 4 to 6 years.
I forgot about that.
So we didn't get a place in the Maison Wallet, so I had to pick him up for lunchtime every day.
That's the absolute worst. I hate that.
So I was there from 8 till 12.
Yeah.
There were no courses because INL's courses in the morning start at 10 past 8, so I couldn't get there. And then the late morning one starts at 10 past 10.
Yeah.
But then it finishes before I had to go and pick him up for lunch. So I couldn't do, because it finishes at 10 to 12 and I had to pick him up at 12. So it doesn't work
with
the Luxembourgish school system if you haven't got a place in the Maison Wallet, which I didn't have. So I did the night course at INL. Yeah, for A1. And it was like hybrid learning. So you do one session in INL and one session at home. So I did that and that worked. That was better. I was able to pass that course.
And your husband watched the kids while you were gone? Because that's bath time, bedtime.
Yeah, exactly. He did bath time and bedtime one night a week. I think it was started at something like 7 till 9. That's a hard time, especially in winter.
And also your to brain make your brain. Yeah. Like my brain wants to watch some crappy
TV. Absolutely. That's what your brain wants to do at that time.
Did you find it hard trying to learn a new language in middle age? Because I'm finding it hard.
Yeah, it doesn't go in as easily. So at the same time, my son was then learning Luxembourgish and he would just absorb it all. He didn't speak for nearly a year in school. I was sad for him. One of the reasons you go to school is to meet people and get to know people. It's a very social time. He didn't get that for the first year. So that was sad. He got better. The second year improved, but the first year it was really tough. But none of our vocab crossed over at all. So he's like happily absorbing Luxembourgish and doing brilliantly. And I'm thinking, oh, we can talk together. But he's learning like woodland animals. The vocabulary around fire stations, which is great for him. But I'm learning, you know, how to say that I'm British. And yeah, so it didn't cross over. So we couldn't really talk to each other. So it was quite hard learning this language in isolation. And I think A1 is really hard because of that, because you're not really... I think A1, for me at least, it felt like memorizing phrases.
Yeah.
It was a lot of memorizing stuff. There was none of the grammar, so you couldn't build anything. And you don't very often walk around saying the vocab from A1. It doesn't help you particularly. You don't very often go in and say, hi, I'm Becky and I'm English and I have two kids. Like in day-to-day life, you don't get to say that, do you?
I hope we're going to learn a little bit more than that in A1 because I've already learned almost half of that. Yeah.
From what I remember, A1 was a lot of introducing myself, but it was a hybrid course. And I don't think we covered everything that an A1 course has the potential to.
But it was at INL.
It was at INL. Yeah.
All right. So you passed it. You did the night class.
Got into INL courses.
I know.
It felt like huge. You just have to be there at 8 a.m. You have to be logged into your INL account. You have to be ready. You have to have it on your phone and your computer. Once you've been a student there once, the next time you get 24 hours advanced booking.
Only if you keep up with the classes, though.
Only if you keep up with the classes and only if you stay in the same language. So if you switch from Luxembourgish to French, you're starting again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's not so good.
INL, it worked for you. You passed A1.
It worked for me. I passed A1. That was great. And then immediately signed up for A2. And that was it then. So like in 18 months, I got to A2 level, which is the level you need to pass.
So break it down for me. One semester of A1.
Yep.
One semester of A2.1.
Yep.
One semester of A2.2.
Yeah. By that point, I'd dropped the hybrid learning. My son was in school. I was able to go to the lessons in the day.
How good were you at the class? Did you feel like you were going to get an A in this class?
I didn't ever feel confident. I'd got to a point with that where I felt I could do it. I really admire people who are just like, I'll just see. I couldn't do that. I had to walk in there and think, yeah, I know I can do this.
Well, it's 100 bucks so or something, like, right?
Yeah, 75 euros.
75 euros.
And also it would have just destroyed me. The thought of sitting there for 5 minutes with not knowing what to say. I really admire people who aren't sure, because, and loads of people aren't sure. So I didn't sign up for the spoken test until I'd done and passed A22. But all the way through that course, people were doing it. Because you need about 2 months' notice to sign up. So all the way through, people were signing up for it and just going in, and they had a "we'll see" attitude. And I just knew if I walked in there and wasn't ready, it would destroy me.
Yeah.
And I'd never want to do it again.
Are you the kind of person that says, oh, I got an F on that test, but really you got an A?
No.
No. So you're a realist.
I'm a realist, but I don't always have much confidence in myself. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
So you passed A2 and then you're registering. Did you do any extras?
Yes.
Okay, what was it?
Luxembourgish with Anne does a self-study spoken test preparation.
But then you went back to self-study.
So I went back to self-study. I also signed up for, and I so recommend these, INLDU ateliers, which are brilliant. They're once a week. They focus on speaking. There's no exams, which is great because the exams at INL are fantastic for preparing you for the spoken test because they're exactly the same, really. So you get used to speaking Luxembourgish in exam conditions, which is great. But it's really nice to do a course without exams too.
Is this the same thing that you have to sign up at 8 a.m. on the day?
They sell out, but not as quickly because they're not taking you through the book. They're not going to get you a level. Anyone can sign up to an atelier, I think. I don't think you even need to have done the thing where they assess your level. And you just sign up and they're just like 2 hours nearly of just talking. And they were quite linked to the themes of the spoken test, which really helped. So they were great. So I'd signed up, I'd passed A2 too. I signed up for this one, which was like B1 level. So it was the level that you're supposed to be at for listening and a bit higher than the level that I was at for speaking. And whilst I was doing that course, I signed up for the exam. And then in the background, I was also doing the self-study. That was a really helpful course for me.
What's the time commitment of the atelier and the self-study?
The atelier is one session a week.
For 2 hours?
Yeah. One hour, 50 minutes or something.
It goes a whole semester?
Yeah, I stopped because I passed it. So I stopped going when I passed it. It's about 150 euros, maybe 120 euros.
I actually interviewed Anne. So her thing is you have to do it 30 minutes a day. It doesn't matter what day it is, weekends, whatever. Is that what you did?
Yeah. So you go in, it's broken into listening and speaking. Mine was listening first, which is fine. If you're used to listening exams, it's just listening to three different role play situations and you answer multiple choice questions on it. And then the oral, you walk into a room. It's broken into two parts, 2 5-minute parts. They feel like the longest 5 minutes in the world, but it is just 5 minutes. I can't believe it's just 2 5-minute parts. You get given a load of envelopes and you have to pick one. And then they open it and that's your topic that you have to talk about.
That sounds so scary.
Really scary. Because when I was preparing, I knew there was some topics that if I got it, I was just not going to pick it.
What are the topics?
I think they change all the time. I think they expand them all the time. I had sport, which was fine, actually. So in the conversation, they ask you about 15 questions about sport and you answer them.
And it's, what sport do you like to play?
Yeah.
Are you a good swimmer?
Yeah. Okay. I remember them saying, do you know any famous Luxembourgish sports people?
You're like, Josie Bartel?
I think I went with Andy Schleck.
I don't know who that is.
Cyclist.
Okay, great.
The great thing was the Luxembourgish with Anne course had prepared me really well for all of the topics. And she gives you a ton of sample questions. So I had, this is a really good tip. If you haven't got people to practice this with, because I didn't at this point, I'd recorded all of the questions that she asked onto voice notes. And I used to go into the forest every day and take a walk. There was no one in the forest, which is fine.
I'm sorry. I try not to laugh.
But I had the questions on AirPods and I would just walk along and pause it and answer the question because I had no one to practice with.
So
I
was so funny.
Like just talk to myself in the forest. But it meant when I sat down to do the exam, as soon as they asked the question, I had the answer. Like it just came automatically.
Nice. So you got lucky.
Because the stress of it, it's not even that I couldn't have done it without doing that, but just the stress of the situation meant I needed like some help to think
I imagine.
Yeah. So it's not a normal situation. You're sat there in this small room. There's one person in front of you. There's one person to the side of you typing the whole time, recording your answers and giving feedback. You don't get that feedback, but they're like mocking you, assessing you. It's a really intense situation. So anything you can do to help you not freak out in that intense situation, I recommend.
The more you know, right?
Yeah, the more you know and the more automatic it can be. But you don't want to sound robotic. You have to throw in a few, genau.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. I like this tip. The envelopes. You pick one.
Yeah.
They ask you questions.
They ask you questions.
And then I heard there's like a picture.
Yeah, that's number two.
Another envelope?
No, not an envelope. They just put three pictures on the desk in front of you. And you have to pick which one you're going to describe for 5 minutes. That's really hard, even in English.
Because what
five
minutes
you have
to say?
Talking about a picture.
What was your picture?
The city of Echternach and loads of people just walking around with bikes. And it was a sunny day. There was a lot to talk about. My top tip for this is just pick the outside picture. You get to talk about seasons and time of the day and what people are wearing and therefore why you think it's that season, weather. And you can show off a lot more vocab if you can do an outside picture versus an indoor picture.
Great tip.
The good thing about preparing for that bit of it, and I would do maybe one or two a day, is you can just find loads of stock imagery. I would just Google people in an office, people in a city, people camping, and whatever stock imagery came up, and I would practice describing it.
And do they time you?
There isn't like a big clock. But they prompt you if you haven't said enough. They'll be like, okay, go on. I must have described every single person in the picture, just trying to fill the time.
So you recommend the INL, Luxembourg and hybrid approach.
That's what worked for me. But do you know, I know so many people who've done it different ways with tutors and different courses. I think it's worth thinking about what works for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't really know. So I'm just going to probably copy you. That's why I wanted you on the show.
I definitely think the ateliers are great. The INL ateliers are really helpful. They were on the topics of the Spoken test. So every week you're just going and using vocab, which was really nice.
And there's another part of this to get the passport. You have to take civics class or something?
Yeah, then there's the Vivre Ensemble side of it.
Tell me about that.
Well, on the languages thing, you can get your money back.
So you go through this, you've prepared, you pass.
Yep.
And then what? Do they tell you passed that day?
No, I had to wait 8 weeks. I was on holiday when it came. You have to sign for the letter.
Oh.
So we got back from holiday. It was a really late flight. We got back from holiday and there was like we missed you from post.
And is it like they email you, or not, they send you a letter in the mail, pass or fail?
Yes.
Oh.
But if you pass, you get a big envelope.
Oh, good tip.
If you fail, you get a small envelope because your big envelope's got a certificate in it. So I got up early the next morning and still in my pajamas, went to the post office. I didn't want to wake anyone up in the house and crept out to the post office. And then they came out with the big envelope and I was like, oh, thank God. That was worth it then.
That's amazing.
So then you get that and then that's done, which is great. Later, when you come to apply for citizenship, you have to have taken your papers for your citizenship. But once you've done that, you can claim your money back for all the courses you've done, up to 750 euros.
Wow.
And you can claim the 75 euros that the Spoken test costs as well.
So what does that mean? You have to hold on to your receipts?
Yes. If you're with INL, when you log into My INL, it keeps a record of all of the different courses you've taken, and you can download receipts and attendance records. And it says on there that you've paid. But I also had to download bank statements. Do yourself a big favor and download them as you go. Download your bank statement when you have paid, because I had to go back and I was like, did I pay for this by credit card? Which bank account did I pay for? If you've just bought INL stuff, download that statement and save it in a folder. Then when you come to claim your money back, you'll be ready.
Does your attendance matter to get reimbursed?
I'm not sure. You do have to sign into INL. I'm not sure if you have to be at 60%.
I took French A1.
Yeah.
And I got an A.
Well done.
I think. A-ish. My attendance rate was 49%.
I know it matters that a lot of businesses pay for people to go on study leave. And for the business to be able to claim back, you have to have been at a certain attendance level. You have to make sure that if you don't go with INL, you have to be with somebody who is on the accredited list of language course providers. You can't just say, hey, my neighbor's going to teach me. I'm going to pay my neighbor and then I'm going to get the money back. The other thing that you have to do, you have to go to INL and get, you take printouts of your attendance records, your certificates that you can download, and they stamp them. And then you send them back. And it only takes about 2 weeks to get the money back.
That's amazing.
Which I think is great.
Because, you know, if you get a tax refund, they cannot pay you back for up to 5 years. Attention, Luxembourg government, we're waiting. Yeah. We've been waiting for over a year.
We did do the bikes thing and that took over a year. Do they still run?
What?
Bike subsidies. I don't know if they're still running. You used to be able to get subsidies on your bikes.
Oh, really?
But that took over a year to get money back.
Still take it.
Yeah,
it's great. I need to buy bikes for all my kids.
I don't know if it's still running, but until a year ago, you could get about 30% or 40% back on the cost of your bikes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. So the Vivo Ensemble is, you can do it two ways. You can either go to classes, and it's about 24 hours worth of classes. It breaks into three mini courses. So you have, there's one on the rights of citizens in Luxembourg, the constitutions that uphold your rights. So you have to learn about different constitutions, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the Lisch Constitution. There's one on the history of Luxembourg. And then there's one on the political systems in Luxembourg. So learning the role of all the different people in Luxembourg. What does the Grand Duke do? But it goes all the way down to the local level and how are communes run and all those, how are elections run? How did the European elections happen here? Who has the right to vote? All those different things. So you can either go and do those courses, and that takes about 24 hours.
Where do you go?
I don't know, because I didn't take that path.
Okay.
So I did not have time in our schedule with all my other kids' stuff that I'm taking them to all the time to sign up for courses. So instead, I did the other option that you can do, which is you just take the exam.
Oh, so you did self-study again.
Yeah, but this suited me quite well. I really enjoyed doing this one.
Oh, do you have a study pack you want to share?
I do have a study pack. A friend has it at the moment.
Amazing. Can we put it in the show notes?
It's a lot, because they don't give you a book. Oh, no, it's like a full massive folder. They don't give you a book. So when my husband did this for the UK, he got a book, Life in the UK, and you just had to memorize the book. Here, they don't give you a book. They give you a list and they give you a few PDFs, but not enough.
And this is in English?
Yes, you can take the exam in English.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, which is amazing. I didn't feel like I wanted to just be like signing up for more classes and trying to fit them in. I was also doing INL, and then I'm also taking my kids to football, to badminton. This life is busy, and trying to fit another 24 hours in felt hard. Plus, you've also then got the signing up and everything all over again, because you have to sign up for each block separately. So you don't just say, oh, I'll do this. I heard that once it was over in a weekend or two weekends and you could do it quite quickly. But signing up for a course that was 6 hours and then a course that was 12 hours and then another course that was 6 hours, it just felt like a lot if I could just go and do the exam. I think it took me about 7 minutes to do the exam. But
wow.
That was with a lot of self-study before.
How much self-study?
A few weeks.
Okay.
A few weeks.
And you did this at the same time as preparing for the Spruken test?
No, I'd passed it by then.
Okay.
I'd passed that and then I went on to do this one. And this one is, it's really quite interesting. There's a lot of dates. It's multiple choice. So there's only so much they can ask you. They can't ask you to explain something. It's all just, there's a lot of dates. It's a lot of names. Some people have a great memory for that and it's really quite easy for them. I don't really have a great memory for that. I had to study quite hard to remember. It's multiple choice. You go in. It's less formal than the spoken test. Like, you don't have to put all your stuff in a locker. You just sit in a computer room. The paper comes up and you just do it. And as soon as you've finished, you're allowed to leave. It tells you whether you've passed there and then. And I actually got the certificate that day and it was done. For me, that was easier. But I know a lot of people who've really enjoyed the course as well. So it depends what you like to do. So then you've got your two certificates, one of attendance or the exam and one for the language course. And then the last bit is the paperwork, which isn't a lot, but it's still worth knowing that you need to do it, especially the police checks, because they can take some time. So you have to fill it in French, like a biographical form of your life, so they can check who you are, check you out. Dates I didn't know off the top of my head. I had to say to my mum, message my mum in the night, when did we move here? What did I do here? Because it's your whole life.
I think that's really weird, because when you move here and you want a driver's license, you already have to get your non-criminal record. And
yeah, you have to do it again for this biographical form. And then you have to do a police check. Everything else can be whenever you pass it. So if you pass the Luxembourgish exams within 2 years of being here, it doesn't expire your certificate. But the police checks have to be done 6 months before you apply. but they can't be older than 6 months when you apply. And the police checks have to be done in English, French, Luxembourgish or German. And you have to have police checks for everywhere you've lived in the last 15 years, plus your birth country. If you've lived in China or something, you have to get that translated into English. So this can take some time. So it's really worth knowing ahead.
I lived in Dubai.
Okay, so you're going to have to get a police check for Dubai. It was really easy for the UK. It was fine. It was just an online form and some money and they just sent it to me. It was great, but it's worth knowing in advance, especially if you've got to do translations, that you need to get those sorted. And then you need passports and birth certificates. And this is why it's super relevant for parents. If you choose to become Luxembourgish and you have children who are under 18, when you get citizenship, they will automatically get citizenship. You can't choose, and you can't choose not to have them get citizenship. Your children have to become Luxembourgish when you do. So part of your application, you have to take your children's birth certificates and your children's passports. They don't have to pass the language exam, that's fine, but you have to take that paperwork and they will automatically get it when you do.
So for me, that's great. I want my kids to have it. I can see if you don't, that might be tricky.
If you don't, there's no way to opt out apart from wait till your children are 18.
And then they can opt out. What about for kids, if they weren't born here, but they grew up here? Do they become Luxembourgish after a certain amount of years?
Yeah, so everything I've been talking about is becoming Luxembourgish by naturalization. And then there's another way of becoming Luxembourgish, which is like Luxembourgish by option. And there are about 20 other different routes. That this is where if you're married to a Luxembourger, for example, you can apply. There are different conditions to apply for nationality. So I think if you've got children and they've been through the public Luxembourgish education system, if they've done 7 years of schooling, for example, I think they can apply without the parent needing to. So yeah, there are different steps if you've been here a long time.
But if your kid's in private school, forget it.
Yeah, but they just become it automatically if you do.
Becky, this has been very informative. I have learned a lot and I feel motivated and slightly freaked out about passing that test. If someone wants to learn more about you or has questions, how can they find you?
I am on Instagram and it's Bex What's Next. And if anyone has any questions, there's actually loads. If you scroll through my feed, there's everything I've talked about today, really. I've tracked my journey all the way through. So you can find it on different posts. But I'm also happy to answer questions on Messenger.
Thank you. Amazing.
In a few months.
Up to 8 months. All right, Becky. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you like the show, I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to leave a comment or better yet, share with another mom friend. And if there's a topic you'd like to see covered or you want to be on the show yourself, please email me at momlife@rtl.lu. And if you're feeling social, you can always reach me on Facebook and Instagram at Mom Life in Luxembourg. Thanks so much and have a great day.